I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. The Irrawaddy Delta in Myanmar used to be an agricultural powerhouse. At one point, Burma exported more rice than any other country in the world. But decades of mismanagement under a military government stunted growth. Then the devastating Cyclone Nargis swept through the area in 2008. It killed 150,000 people and ravaged villages and farms. In the 5 years since then, the region has seen some recovery, but not enough. Reporter Bruce Wallace recently spent 6 days in the Delta examining whether the dramatic political changes going on in Myanmar are having any effect on its millions of rural poor.
You can smell the ocean at Takemaji. It's about 5 miles from the Andaman Sea. The location makes it great for fishing, but it also makes it vulnerable. Before Cyclone Nargis, it was home to about 700 people. After the storm, the survivors from the village gathered and counted. There were 72 of them left. Ulaji was one. On the night of Nargis, a wave swept him toward the river.
I'm in the water and trying to swim and grab whatever I can. Near the riverbank, there's one tree, and then I hear my son shouting, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And I yell, "Son, son, son." I just listen for his voice, and he grabs me from the tree.
He and his son spent the night clinging to the trunk as wind and water whipped around them. His wife and two of his daughters died. The surge of ocean water that swept his village away also charged far up the Irrawaddy's seemingly endless tributaries. Myanmar's paranoid former military government blocked international aid workers in the critical days after Nargis. The government finally relented, and the aid workers came in hard. A clutch of them accompanied our group of journalists to Ong Myint Tan, a small rice farming village. They wanted to show us a United Nations microfinance project. At the top of the dock, we were greeted by rows of women sitting on the ground. We got the sense they'd been waiting for a while. Our local UN coordinator said hi. The villagers answered in unison. Our presence was explained. Then the women were called one by one to receive loan payments at a round table piled high with chat. Farmers can now borrow money from microfinance programs like this one, or from the government, at rates well below those on the informal black market. Even with a low interest, keeping up with payments can be hard. After we left the microloan show, I sat and talked to a husband and wife struggling under the weight of a loan from an NGO. But loans and other aid have helped lift many, at least a little. Tin Sandar Win spelled out how her fortunes have improved post-Nargis.
I got a UN loan and put the money into my farm. From that year's profit, I bought 2 acres. The next year, I bought 2 more acres. The next year, 2 more.
She had 5 acres before Nargis. She has 17 now.
What is this thing for?
In another village near Ong Myint Tan, 16 students repeat basic English phrases. Ming Nae Lin Tet is in 5th grade at the school. If he wants to go past grade 7, he'll need to travel to a different school 30 minutes away. Less than half of Kansu's students go past 7th grade. He thinks his family can manage it. He's less sure they can afford the extra education he'd need to become what he wants to be. A doctor. If they can't afford it, they're landless, so there's not much hope for him in the village. He'll have to move to Yangon, he says. Back in Takemaji, 5 miles from the ocean, the wind and rain is picking up. Nargis's toll is still felt today. Many borrowed money from the same local moneylender and had to give him their property when they couldn't keep up with the payments. Myint Thane is rebuilding his fishing business. 5 of the 6 people who worked with him died in Nargis. He has a lot less money to put into the business now, even after getting a loan from a friend. When he's asked if he cares about politics or who leads the country, he says he just wants somebody who can bring development and make things better than they are now. Spending 6 days reporting relatively freely, with scores of people eager to talk openly about their lives, did feel like some small sign of change. Learning partway through those 6 days that the police had been in frequent contact with one of our hosts, keeping tabs on our whereabouts, reminded us that change comes slowly. For The World, I'm Bruce Wallace in Myanmar's Delta.
Bruce's story is part of Global Post's Burmese Journey project, funded by the Open Hands Initiative.